and a lot of offensive power on each side of the ball. So I'm kind of torn. Was the biggest surprise the lack of offensive production or how great the defenses were? So that's probably my biggest surprise coming in that week one.
Now, this is the cool thing about it because you saw two games that I didn't see. And I saw two games that you didn't see.
This is awesome. So look at this synergy.
It works out here.
Oh, man.
That we've got a lot to talk about. So 7-2, Elginac wins. And I know everybody's asking you, were the defense is that great or the offense is that bad?
Yep.
And it was the defense, wasn't it?
It truly was the defenses. I mean, because obviously Elginac's side of the ball, he got Joe McKee, Brandon Piper, Brandon Spencer, Nick Folkerts. They returned last year, and for Marine City, you know, you got MJ Frank, Alexander, Cole Sobel, Dawson Haney. Those guys just magically didn't lose their talent over 1 year. Like, I mean, Come on, those guys are still going to be great football players, and I think they're going to show it, you know, today in both their respective games. So, yeah, it definitely was the defenses. I mean, God, those guys can fly quick to the ball. Marine City's front seven is unbelievable. Elginac's front seven, equally unbelievable. So, yeah, it was all defense.
I was surprised by the Croslick St. Clair score.
Same here.
Not that Croslick scored 43. I kind of expected that. Mm-hmm. But that St. Clair went blow for blow with them and scored 39 and had a chance to win that football game.
Yeah. And I'll admit, I thought Croslick was going to win that game, but I thought it was going to be maybe by 14 points, even 21 points. I didn't think that St. Clair had the firepower to hang with them, especially with that strong front seven, especially the defensive line, if we can go in that front seven, that Croslick has. I mean, Ethan Mon for St. Clair, sophomore running back, he really impressed me. I mean, that was great. Colin Agosta, he looks way better, way more improved than he did last year. His footwork was great. I mean, just finding the right receivers, making the right plays. So I really did like what I saw from St. Clair. I mean, despite the loss, of course.
And they should get better this week. They've got Tower tomorrow night.
That'll be a nice matchup for them.
In,
yep.
In just a few minutes. PH really played hard against mm-hmm. Country Day. PH had a chance to win that game. There were a couple of plays. They had a pick at the goal line that they couldn't hold on to. And a couple of other opportunities like that, where if they make the play, Country Day goes home with their tails between their legs. And as it was, they probably got on the bus at the end of the night and gave a big sigh of relief, like, we got out of here.
Yeah.
And I know, you know, the whole moral victory thing. Ryan Mullins doesn't want to hear that.
Right.
Coach Taddy doesn't want to hear that.
No coach does,
There are no moral victories. We lost a game that we had a chance to win is the way they're looking at it. But if I'm those kids, I got to feel pretty good about the effort. And I got to think if I show up every Friday night, or as the case may be, a Thursday night this
week, and
play like that, I'm going to beat most teams on my schedule.
Yeah, without a doubt. And I mean, just like you were saying, the energy they had was great. And the defense, too. I mean, to hold that Country to 18 to 17 points, that's great. And obviously, it does sound silly to say, like, that's as good as a loss can get. I mean, God, even now this still sounds weird. It's like my second or third time saying it. But in all honesty, I mean, that game did show that Port Huron can make some noise, especially in conference play in the MAC Blue this year. Yeah.
Their defense actually was really good. And the second touchdown, the touchdown that was the difference in the game, was scored on a short field after a fumble.
Yep.
And also, it was a deflected pass where the guy who the pass was intended for dropped the ball.
Yeah.
And it landed right in a teammate's hand who was standing, you know, 5 yards away from him. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, look what I found. Oh, geez, touchdown.
Yeah.
Kind of a play. So with a little luck, too. Sometimes you got to be good and lucky. But I was really impressed with the way the Big Reds played in week one. I love the way Marysville played.
Yeah.
And Richmond is good, people. Richmond is good. The only issue I had with Richmond all night long was the snaps were a little ugly.
That's what I heard.
Churchill fumbled about three from under center, and in the shotgun, they snapped one along the ground through his legs and snapped another one over his head.
That's not going
to
work.
So they got to clean that up. But when they get it to him and he can stand there and throw, man, can he throw.
Oh, yeah, he's got great power. Only a junior, too, which is really impressive.
He's got a great release. And they have receivers. Anthony Tavano is back, and he was good last year. He's outstanding receiver. Chick Fry is a great receiver. So they have weapons there, and they have Deshaun Hamilton, which is always a good thing to give him the ball.
Yeah, I mean it's a pretty nice move to make.
But they weren't as big as Marysville, and Marysville just pounds the rock. They've got Dante Check, and now Grefor playing running back this year.
Yeah,
gives them a nice kind of change up back there, and they just pound the rock, and I think they just wore Richmond down in the second half
for sure,
and dominated. So I was really impressed by that. So it was a good week one. You guys have Algonac on top of your poll.
Yes, sir. Yep.
And then you went with PH and Marysville tied at number two.
Yep.
Croslex at four. Yale, who had a nice win in week one.
Yeah.
And Marine City are five. Richmond seven. Northern and St. Clair at eight. That's going to be a very interesting game when they get together.
Absolutely.
I think it's week four.
Yeah.
And then Brown City, who did lose its first game to New Haven, is 10th on your thing. I guess I look at that and I want to argue with something, but there's really nothing to argue with.
Oh, man, that's not fun. Come on. Well,
that's pretty much kind of the way that it pans out.
Yeah.
All right. Let's start with Port Huron High, Roseville tonight. Roseville won their first game, a modest 14-0 win over East Detroit. Port Huron High is going to win this game. I'll just say it.
Spoiler alert. Yeah, it's going to be a PH win.
The score comes back different than that,
the bus got lost on the way there.
Somebody will have to resuscitate me because I'll be shocked. I'll be shocked.
I'll be there for you, Dennis. Don't worry.
Matt Gold openers. I'm going to be out at Memorial Stadium tonight. Port Huron Northern opens against Marine City. I think I know what I can expect from Marine City.
Mm-hmm.
After last week's game, their offense, I'm sure their offense had it pounded into them all week, and they will be better.
That practice week probably was not the most fun for the Mariners.
and I'm thinking, I don't want to be the guy that has to tackle Dawson Haney or MJ Frank
Cole
Solberg or Ryan Alexander or whoever else gets the ball tonight. So I expect Marine City to have some more offense tonight. Yep. What I'm not sure what I'm going to get is what Northern's going to give me, because I think we all agree there's talent there at Northern.
Yep.
They have a really good quarterback in Billy Falco who can run and throw. Yep. They have two really good receivers in Mason and Nabosny. They have a power back in Hughes. He doesn't get big numbers, but he's a big kid.
He's reliable.
And he's steady. The defense scored a touchdown for them last week.
Mm-hmm.
And in spite of the final score last week, Coach Rollins was really happy with his defense because it kept him in the game until the final four minutes.
It was 28-21 with just 4 minutes to go, but I mean kind of spiraled out of hand there.
But that was a big loss for them already in week one, because I looked at their schedule and I said there's six wins there if they want to go out and get them.
Mm-hmm.
But one of those six wins for me was in week one,
right?
And they didn't get it, so they haven't quite gotten over the hump yet to learn. You got to learn how to win, and in a close game like that on the road, talent alone won't get you there. There's that little extra something that gets you that win instead of the game getting away from you.
Yeah.
So I'm not quite sure, because Marine City, I think, is going to bring it tonight.
Yes, absolutely.
So I'm not sure how Northern's going to take that and respond to it and play against them tonight.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be a tough game for Northern, I think. But, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see how good their offense does against Marine City's defense, which I think, I mean, just right now, top of my head, I think that's going to be the best defense they'll see all year. So this is really going to tell how well this offense can be and how far they could really carry them in those in the final games here. Because just like you're saying, like, they had six wins to go out and get it. They lost one of them. So they're going to need to steal one of these games, in my opinion, either from Marine City, Marysville, Port Huron. So they're going to need to steal one of those. And tonight could be a good opportunity for the Huskies to do it.
But they open, and I'm not saying they're going to lose tonight.
Right, yeah, of course.
I don't know what's going to happen.
Right, yeah.
But if they open 0-2, remember they opened 0-2 last year, and then they rattled off four straight wins.
That's not bad. Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, they're scheduled after this for those next three or four games. You gotta like it.
I mean, it goes center line.
Yep.
Then they have the St. Clair game, which is going to be big for both of those teams.
Yeah, that could have big playoff implications. Yep.
Then East Detroit, then Lakeshore before they have to play Marysville in week seven.
Mm-hmm.
And then last year they closed out with probably the three toughest teams on their schedule right in a row.
Yep.
This year, Marysville and PH are broken up by the Tower game in the middle. So, I mean, again, I think they're going to win five, and they make the playoffs if, like you said, they steal a Marine City, Marysville, or Port Huron win.
Yeah. Yeah, I think they will get five, and I'm not going to count number six out either. I think they fully, absolutely can win six games as well. So, hope I'm not coming off as like I'm, you know, writing them off already, because I'm absolutely not. Yeah,
no, this is, and I'm not either. Yeah. There's a lot of there's 8 weeks of football to be.
Yeah. Oh, is it? But, it's not just three. Oh man. Yeah.
But it gets a little more difficult.
It does. Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Not difficult for Marysville. They've got Lakeshore tonight, and again, I'll be shocked if this score doesn't come back a lot to a little.
The game will end by 8:45. You'll be in bed by 9:00. It'll be running clock in the second half, and yeah.
So. Lakeshore was not good in week one, and Marysville was really good in week one against another good team.
Yeah, start Dante Check today if you have high school fantasy football. That's going to be a big night for him coming up.
He's only going to play.
He's going to make him count, though. So.
But he'll get over 100.
Yeah.
Just real quick, in the MAC tonight, New Haven has to travel to Ida. I don't know who made New Haven's schedule, but that's not a fair game.
The
Blue Streaks, a D5 semifinalist last year, went 12-1. And in week one, they beat somebody 51-20 or something like that. They're really, really, really good. And I know New Haven won their first game at Brown City. And Weems and some of those guys that they have are pretty good football players. But number one, for those of you that don't know, Ida is way down by Monroe. So they've got a long bus ride.
Yeah.
And then they're playing a first-rate team in D5. That's a tough game.
Yeah, and if I can go back to your what surprised me the most question, actually it does have to do with New Haven. They won that game with 19 penalties. That's impressive, isn't it? That's strangely impressive to win a game with that many penalties.
That's a lot of penalties.
So hopefully everyone knows the snap count today. Because it wasn't like a lot of penalty yards. You could tell it was a bunch of 5-yard penalties, but yeah, it's a lot of penalties. And to win? That's incredible.
And to win. Some great games in the BWAC tonight. You're going to go watch one of those. We're going to take a break, and we'll talk about the BWAC openers when we come back. Talking high school football, it is week two, officially, tonight. And we'll be at Memorial Stadium, Port Huron Northern, taking on Marine City tonight, 6:45 at WPHM.net. And like I say, we'll talk some BWAC football when we come back in just a moment here on the Dennis Stuckey Show.
The Dennis Stuckey Show is on Information 1380 WPHM.
All right, welcome back. It's the Dennis Stuckey Show along with Matt Sheehan from the Times Herald. Let's go into the BWAC here, Matt. There's going to be a big one tonight.
Yeah.
Already. Championship implications in week one of the BWAC
right
schedule.
Here. Yep.
Because the winner will be in the driver's seat and the loser will need other teams to knock each other off later in the season. Algonac is at Elmont. They both had impressive wins in week one. Algonac with the win at Marine City. And then, of course, Elmont opened with Michigan Lutheran Seminary, a school out of Saginaw. That went to, I want to say, the semifinals.
I think it was
last
the semis,
year.
Yeah.
They were a 10-2 football team a year ago, and are generally pretty decent program. It's a small school, but they're a pretty decent program. So that's an impressive win for them.
Yeah.
Because to be honest about it, most years Elmont opens the season with a gimme.
Yeah, without a doubt. Not the case this year, though. That was a heck of a victory. Because, I mean, I don't know much about Elmont, admittedly. I mean, they're just outside our coverage zone, unfortunately. But just on that score alone, to see that they could, you know, win that shootout with a team as good as Michigan, Saginaw, Lutheran, Seminary. I'm sure I jumbled those words a little bit, but that's impressive.
I worked in Saginaw, and we did one of their games before. And my color man, Jack Taney. I don't know where Jack is these days, but I know he's not listening.
You never know.
He's probably in a bar in Frankenmuth right now. But Jack got so excited on a play, he called him Michigan Lutheran Cemetery.
Ouch.
Yeah, it just kind of slipped out.
Yeah.
What a play for Michigan Lutheran Cemetery. Like, it's seminary.
Close enough. It's. Oh, man. Oh, well. What a game it's going to be tonight, though. I mean, geez, I'm going to leave right from here over to Elmont to catch that game. Gonna show up maybe at 5:15 and I'll be lucky to get a spot in a parking lot.
Well, that's the thing. Everybody in the town of Elmont will be at the football stadium tonight.
Yep.
And half of Algonac will pack up and make the trip.
Yeah. Right. Like last week's Marine City Algonac game, that was more than 2,000 fans. And, you know, I want to say half was from Algonac. I expect the same turnout again from the Muskrats, especially just like you're saying, this could be a de facto BWAC championship already in week two. Like, we're going to be in week eight looking back and saying, like, wow, I mean, this is why it is it is right now.
That game
this
had
is why Team A is
big,
on the top.
Yeah, yep. Had a big say in what's going on when we get to the bottom of the schedule. So that'll be a real good one. And again, not knowing tons about Elmont other than they've been good for a long time.
Yeah, they're a perennial power.
This is a big one, but just because I'll go with Algonac.
Yeah, I'm going with Algonac too, just because I learned from my mistake last week when I picked Marine City, and then Algonac won despite only getting 14.
Board material.
It is, yeah. Because we have these prediction videos, and I picked Marine City, and right after the game, I had a Coach Smith over at Algonac, come right up to me. He's like, "Who'd you pick? Who'd you pick?" And at first, I was like, "Oh, this is so great! People are actually watching these videos."
Well, but this is what's so cool about it is a couple of years ago in Algonac, nobody would even know they had a game tonight.
Oh, yeah, of course not.
The culture
has
completely changed there.
So quick, too.
And that's awesome.
It is. Yeah, without question. I mean, because, I was just talking, because we go back to Marine City's non-conference schedule. It's Madison Heights, Madison, Loyola, Grosse Pointe North, and then Algonac. And, like, those are four tough games. But when they signed up for this about three years ago, they probably didn't see Algonac become this power. Like, that just shows how impressive this quick turnaround has been for Algonac, where they can just change the course of not their own season, but all other team seasons too, because they're no longer a team you look at the schedule and say, all right, there's our running clock win right there.
Like, the Marine City High School football team record for points in a game is 71.
Not bad.
They did it against Algonac.
Oh.
In 1985.
Look at that fun fact.
They beat them 71-6. So how far is Algonac?
A little bit. Wow, that's wild.
It's been a long time, though, since Algonac's been relevant.
Yeah,
and
it's great
and
to
last
see
year kind of, it kind of snuck up on us.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't really until week five that we all started going, you know what? They really are this good.
Yeah. Like in the preseason, I fear they're going to be good. Like, but my good for them was 4-5, 5-4. I didn't think they'd be great. Borderline elite, especially in the area. Like, it's great. And it's going to be a fantastic game tonight. I can't wait. I mean, both those fan bases are phenomenal. Like, the both sides of the field are going to be packed. Parking lot's going to be packed. It's going to be like a Friday Night Lights-esque scene out of a movie. It's going to be great.
Richmond gets a home game against Armada. Again, Richmond's got a few things to clean up, but this is not Marysville that they're going up against tonight, and it's a home game for Richmond, and it's a BWAC game.
Yep.
I think Richmond will recover, and Armada, they've been down for a few years now.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't see them coming in week two of the season and winning at Richmond.
Right, especially with the statement game Richmond needs after that week one game. Yeah, I'm not seeing it either.
Yeah. Yale at KPAC. It's a big rivalry. Again, you've got two teams that are probably at opposite ends of the spectrum, but you actually think KPAC will fight and claw with them for a little while.
I think so.
Before Yale puts this one away.
Yeah, I mean, just for the sake of it being a rivalry game, I know that's a cliche saying all rivalry games are close, but I could see it happening. I mean, KPAC, they had a tough week one game, but against a very good opponent in Laker, without question. So I don't know. Maybe they could catch Yale sleeping early on, make it a game. But in the end, I do think Yale is going to pull away and win this one.
Imlay City's at Croslex. They both won in week one. Imlay City played Bentley. And I think it's the third year in a row they've beaten them in the opener. And Croslex had that shootout with St. Clair. Are they concerned about how many points they gave up in that? I mean, they won, but they've got to be concerned they gave up 39 points.
Yeah. I remember just standing around the huddle after the game, just waiting to interview the coaches, and Coach Grunman turned around right after he broke out of the huddle, just let out a whoo. that was ugly. that's what he said. So he gets the message. I mean, obviously he was impressed, 43 points. He was pretty happy about that. But yeah, on the flip side, 39 points, you're going to want to shore that up here pretty quickly, especially with as talented as our defense is capable of being. So,
yeah. GTC doesn't start league games yet. They're still crossing over.
Yep.
Brown City looks to bounce back from a week one loss. They've got Vassar, who I think is, from what I'm hearing, is down this year.
Yep.
It would be nice to see the Green Devils
it will.
Get going here, because I'll be honest, I expected a win from them last week against New Haven.
Same.
And when I saw that score, I was a little bit like, you know, one eyebrow goes up and goes, oh, really?
Yeah, same here. I mean, I know they are replacing a lot of players, though. But, I mean, New Haven does have some athletes this year, too. Athletes they didn't have in years prior. So, I mean, that kind of figures me a close game. But just like you were saying, I thought Brown City was going to pull out the win. But maybe they're still kind of getting used to each other, a new team. Maybe they'll mold into, you know, more solid form here in week two.
Marlette, I'm going to compare to Marine City just in the fact that they didn't score last week, and I expect them to score a lot this week when they play USA. Last week they were playing Merrill, a pretty tough,
Merrill's tough.
Football team, and I think Marlette had less than 100 yards in that game of offense. They may get that by the end of the first quarter tonight. USA is a little down, and they got stomped pretty good their first game.
Yeah.
So I would think that Marlette can recover this week.
Mm-hmm.
Sandusky gets Laker, and Sandusky had a rough start. We knew that this was kind of it was a transition year for Sandusky. They lost everything off of last year's team, which was the best team in school history.
Yeah.
And then they had to open with Carleton on the road, and tonight they're at home against Laker, but Laker coming off a win over a BWAC team. I know it was KPAC, but it's a BWAC
and
team.
A convincing one, too. They didn't squeak it out by any means either. No, yeah,
they won big. So this is another tough game for Sandusky.
It is. And, I mean, hopefully they do growing in these two games, too, because, I mean, they are facing really tough opponents. So hopefully those younger players can, you know, just figure out quick where they should be and almost look at their opponents, too, and kind of just go off that.
Yeah. Did you see the Harbor Beach score?
Yeah, I actually didn't.
They won 64-44 last
week. Oh, my goodness gracious. What, they play with seven people on defense?
They were playing Bad Axe, I want to say.
Wow.
I think it was Bad Axe they opened with. 64-44.
You know
What? Are those teams playing eight-man this year?
I was going to say, I want to make mental note of that score. Check that basketball score when those two teams square up in the winter and see if that passes that one. Seriously. Oh, man.
So that's a shootout. All right, our alma mater, Bishop Foley, gets Marine City Cardinal Mooney tonight down in Madison Heights.
Yep.
And Mooney in week one played a Saturday night game. They lost to Lutheran Westland 60-28. Very high scoring game there. But this is Mooney's first year back in the Catholic League.
Yep.
This is the league opener. I would think that there's an adjustment period here for Cardinal Mooney, and I would think that at home, the Ventures, which is a Viking, by the way.
Yes, it is. Yep.
will have the upper hand in this one.
Yeah, I'm thinking the same thing, too. But I don't know. Foley is coming off of two tough seasons. So we'll see if they're still in the downswing, if they're still that much in the downswing to where, you know, a Cardinal Mooney team that's still getting used to Catholic League kind of come up and, you know, punch him in the mouth here and take a win in week two.
Got some eight-man football, too, tonight. Let's take another quick break before we get to that. There's just a couple of games on the schedule for Friday. Anchor Bay hosts Frazier, and St. Clair hosts Warren Woods Tower.
Yep.
And we both like the Saints against Tower in,
you know,
in week two, especially after their good showing against Croslex in week one. Our game of the week tonight is Port Huron Northern against Marine City, and then tomorrow night we'll be at East China for that St. Clair Warren Woods Tower game. So it's another doubleheader for you, because that's the only way to do the first 2 weeks
of
the season.
Yeah.
If they're going to play games on two nights, we might as well do two games. So that's That's kind of my philosophy on the whole thing. All right, we'll take a break, and then we'll wrap up hour number one talking a little eight-man football with Matt Sheehan from the Times-Herald here on the Dennis Stuckey Show.
You're listening to the Dennis Stuckey Show on 1380 WPHM.
All right, welcome back. We're just working on our show slogans there.
Yeah. So far, so good.
You're listening to the Dennis Stuckey Show. You don't want to, but it's kind of like an accident. You're forced to look. Anyways, eight-man football tonight. Deckerville heads north to Kindy to take on North Huron. This is a league game. It's their only meeting of the season. It gets confusing sometimes in eight-man because they play each other twice. and you got to double check to make sure what the league game is. But this is a league game tonight, and I fully expect Deckerville to be 2-0 and 1-0 in league play when it's done. Because in our, at least in our area, and maybe in the state, there aren't many teams that match up with Deckerville.
No, especially in this side of the state. Yeah, I mean that's a special team, especially with all the returning talent from last year's semifinal team.
Peck will play at Mayville tonight. This is also a league meeting. Mayville's new to the NTCL this year, and Peck is Peck. They had a tough game though at Marion in week one. They picked up a 20-14 win, but there's Deckerville, then there's Peck, then there's everybody else.
Yeah, absolutely agree. I mean, even though Peck is kind of struggling with numbers this year, well, I mean, it's 8-man, who isn't? But it's just the experience, too, that they're also lacking as well.
CPS will get Owen Gage tonight, and CPS, this is a non-leaguer. They'll play again later in the season. CPS opened with a loss in week one. Owen Gage, surprisingly, little Owen Gage, Owendale and Gagetown are surprisingly good at 8-man football last couple of years. They rolled in week one 44-0 over somebody. So this is another tough matchup for a young CPS team that's going through growing pains after having, you know, several big years, two state championships in a row, and three playoff appearances in 4 years. That group of kids has cycled through, and you know how it is in high school football.
Yeah, right. And with a new head coach, too, still trying to figure everything out over there.
And New Haven Merritt plays Flint International. They both won their opening games, but Flint International won by 2 points over a so-so team, and New Haven Merritt beat CPS pretty handily.
Yeah, they did.
And Merritt, I talked about them the last time you were on the show. They're a young program, but they're actually –
up and coming.
They're sneaky good.
Oh yeah, good.
And in a couple of years, they may be challenging teams like Peck and Deckerville
for sure
on this side of the state.
Yeah, they're on a quick upswing here, which is nice to see.
So they're playing some good football. So there it is. And then, as I mentioned, for Friday night, St. Clair and Tower, which will be our second half of our doubleheader for game of the week, and Anchor Bay will play Fraser. Fraser beat Northern in week one. Anchor Bay blew out Lance Cruz in week one, so hard to tell where the Tars are at, because Lance Cruz is going to have a lot of tough games this year.
For sure, that's not a really good barometer game to have.
But I haven't ever seen Irwin play, the Anchor Bay quarterback, but there was a nice write-up about him in the news or the Free Press.
Okay.
So there are people taking notice of this guy, and
that's
he
good.
Had over 100 yards rushing and over 100 yards passing in week one. So.
That's a day.
Yeah.
Not bad at all.
They may have something there. They're still up in the Mac White, but there you go. That's football for this week. College season will be getting in full swing. I know there was the game down in Australia and all, but it's official. College football season is
in the continental United States. It is official now. that's what it is. And oh, what time is it now? It's 4 o'clock. So in 27 hours, MSU kicks off against and get ready for this powerhouse, Furman.
Yeah, I don't even know if we'll spend much time talking about this one.
Where would Furman place in the BWAC? Do you think where do they place? Algonac and Richmond and Almont, or do they finish on top still? I'm being sarcastic, obviously, but the Furman game.
I'm thinking Furman goes 2-2. Against Algonac, Richmond, Elmont,
that's
Cross
fair.
Lex. I split those games.
I can't even I can't even point to Furman on a map within a 500 mile radius of air. Like
it's,
I couldn't
it's
do
somewhere
it.
Somewhere in South Carolina.
I'll take your word for it. Yeah, sure. I'll believe you.
And I'll tell you when we come back. We got to take a break. Hour number 2.
Oh, sorry,
next.
I'm talking. Okay.
And it's a shortened show today. We're going to 4:30 because at 4:30, more from Mark D'Antonio and the gang at MSU as we have their game preview for tomorrow night's contest, 4:30 to 5:30 today. And then at 5:30, Lions pregame starts because there's no Tigers tonight. So we'll bring you the Lions and the Bills. They have a 5:30 pregame. The game doesn't kick off till what, 7:30?
That is 2 hours of unnecessary pregame, if you ask me. I mean, I don't want to turn your listeners away, but
I'm with you. It's the preseason,
fourth game preseason,
and it's
2 hour
fourth
pregame
game
show
preseason. So nobody you've ever heard of is going to play in this game.
No, No. I feel bad for the people that have to do that show. What on earth are you talking about for 2 hours?
Well, this is a big game for Jake Rudock to prove that he's better than Dan Orlovsky.
No, it's not. It's not a big game.
What's the difference? If either one of them get in the regular season, the Lions are sunk.
Yeah, that's a very good point. Yeah. Yeah, there's no good reason for them to be playing. Right, yeah. So two hours, that is ample pregame time. Wow.
That was a long one. High school football tonight on the stream, 6:45 from Memorial Stadium, Port Huron Northern against Marine
now
City.
Now that you should listen tonight. To. That's worth listening to right there.
I agree with you wholeheartedly.
Coming back to help you out. Yeah.
There. So, at any rate, we'll wrap things up here today at 4:30 so that you can find out a little bit more about Michigan State Furman. All I need to tell you about Michigan State Furman, we were talking about it off the air, Vegas will not put a line on this game.
Yeah, that's how close they think it's going to be, right? Is that what it is? They think it's going to be close or, they think it's going to be a blowout? Is that what?
Well, the fear is that the point spread would have to be so high that it actually would be difficult for Michigan State to cover.
Yeah.
So let's say
it's astronomical.
They say the point spread is 50.
Yeah.
So that means when it's 49-0 and Mark D'Antonio puts the cheerleaders into the game and starts taking a knee.
After he puts the drum line in.
People that bet $100 on Furman and took the points are going to clean Las Vegas would be bankrupted in the matter of minutes.
Yeah, that's true. I'm just so excited football's back, though. Oh, man. This is great. I'm so excited. This is like Christmas Eve for me, because obviously I'm an MSU guy, so this is so great.
The problem with this game, Matt, is I want to see how good O'Connor is, and I won't get to see that for 3 more weeks when they go to Notre Dame, because he's only going to play a quarter and a half tomorrow night. Against, I mean, let's be realistic.
You're not
going to
see a lot. Yeah, but also, you know, and here's the thing, and this is how weird I am, that I'm actually kind of nervous for this game tomorrow, and that really shows you that the Middle Tennessee State game has damaged me permanently. I'm a new person. I have not been the same mentally, physically, or spiritually since that game, and I'm walking in here a little nervous tomorrow because, God, what if Furman does it? What if they pull Middle Tennessee State and win again, and I got to be all upset and then live in a state of denial for a week?
And as you pointed out, with a smile on your face when you came in, it is the anniversary today of Michigan Appalachian State.
Yeah, that is right.
Who saw that coming?
Good times. Do you remember where you were when that happened? Years ago?
I do remember where I
do
was.
You?
I was in the backyard cutting grass.
Okay.
Because I said to my wife, Katie, she's like, are you going to watch the Michigan game? And I'm like, against Appalachian State, I'm going to go cut the lawn.
Right, yeah.
And then I came in, you know, like after cutting the backyard, and glanced at the score, and it was close.
Yeah.
I'm like, whatever. They'll pull away.
Right, yeah.
This one, no problems here. And went out, finished up the lawn, came back in just in time to see the final minutes of the game.
Oh, wow,
and
wow.
And it was like, that didn't just happen, did it?
No. Yeah, because this is when I was a teenager. We were in Cedar Point with the family, and this is when Blackberries were a thing. So this is, and then like we go back, check my dad's Blackberry, and said like whatever the score was, and we're like, that's got to be an error. But he had like 10 voicemails too, and it was just 10 people celebrating. I mean, so that's what it was. We're like, oh my, it's not a typo. Blackberry was right, and sorry for all the Michigan listeners right there for last minute, but hey, great times. Come on,
great times. Shouldn't have this issue on Saturday when they take on Hawaii.
Absolutely not. No.
What about Michigan though? Because again, we have these two teams. Michigan State's pre-ranking is 12, which is the first time in like 3 years they've been out of the top six in the pre-ranking. So everybody's looking at Michigan State and going, they lost this. They're going to be down this year.
Mm.
And not really taking into account Michigan State's defense is still really good.
Very good, yeah. I mean, the linebackers are going to be phenomenal this year. The D-line, I mean, they're a little shallow, but the talent they do have up top is great. The secondary is the only question mark I really have. I mean, a lot of people are optimistic about it, but, I mean, the first three quarters of the season last year, that was pretty bad.
Yeah.
So.
But and the other thing is with Elliott out of the Big Ten,
right,
Michigan State might have the leading rusher in the conference in their backfield.
Yeah, as of now, it's either I would even go over to Penn State and Saquon Barkley. I think he's not only the best in Big Ten, amongst the best in the nation, though. But God, what a stable running backs MSU has! I mean, with L.J. Scott, Madre London, Gerald Holmes. I mean, it's great. So
they've got a lot there.
Yeah,
Michigan is ranked up there. People really like Michigan.
Yeah.
I think in part of it is, well, Harbaugh's a great coach. I'm not ever going to say that he's not.
Right.
And I think Michigan is good.
Oh, sure. Yeah, yeah. There's no denying
but
that.
They lost their quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the guys that are coming in there to replace Rudock aren't any better than the guys at Michigan State who are coming in to replace Cook. They're not.
Yeah, but it's Michigan and it's Jim Harbaugh and it's one of four teams national media knows.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are into the Harbaugh is everywhere right now. He's been a great promoter.
Oh yeah, sure.
And I think people are kind of buying into that. Now I do think that Michigan is really good, and I still claim that there are basically four teams in the Big Ten.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It's MSU, Ohio State, Michigan, and then
Iowa.
You know, this year it's Iowa. I mean, there's always a different team coming out of the Big Ten West, which. What a conference that is to play in the Big Ten West. If you're a top dog in that, that is sweet.
Yeah.
You are eating cupcakes 12 weeks out of the year. That is phenomenal. To be in Nebraska or in Iowa in that conference, oh, how great is that?
But for me, for Michigan, you know, their toughest three games are all on the road.
Yeah, 10 the season too, right?
So, I mean, I think they're pretty good, but I don't know if – they're a playoff team. I didn't know that Michigan State was a playoff team last year till they got there. And then as it turned out, that didn't work out too well for them.
No, but, got to see that in person. Oh, that was a sad car trip.
Lucky you.
I don't know about lucky, but yeah, that's it was a good trip until the second half started. And then, then it got really sad. But
it's good to have it back. And I anticipate
it's great to have it back.
Victories for both the Spartans and the Wolverines. In week one. We'll take a break here, and then we'll come back, and we'll wrap up the program in just a moment. It's the Dennis Stuckey Show here on WPHM. All right, we have a few minutes here before we get into Michigan State's coaches show with Mark D'Antonio. That's 4:30 to 5:30 today, and then Lions pregame starts at 5:30 as we've got Lions football for you tonight here on WPHM. Tigers are off. They start a, in my opinion, huge series in Kansas City on Friday night simply because they're only three games ahead of the Royals, and it's not on Royals-like for them to sweep the Tigers and then just create a whole bunch of mess here in early September that I don't want to deal with.
Yeah, seriously. That's too stressful. Come on, I got enough on my plate.
I don't want to be put off by the fact that that the Tigers are playing games where they've just got to run down more teams.
Yeah.
I'm focused right now. I'm wild card, smile card. I am focused on catching Cleveland.
Yep.
Cleveland is going to fold, people.
Yeah.
It's going to be there. The question is do the Tigers want to take it? Tigers, let me read you. I love doing this. I love when Matt is here throwing out the great stats and numbers and things that boggle the mind. The Tigers have recorded 12 series sweeps this year, but have been swept themselves six times.
Okay.
They've been as many as 12 games over 500 and as many as six games under.
Wow, what a roller coaster.
They've been as many as 8.5 games out of first, and they've been in first by as many as one game. 13 times this season they have scored 10 runs or more in a game. 9 times they've been shut out. That one really blows my mind.
That's a good one, yeah.
They had a stretch where they lost 11 of 12, and they had a stretch where they won 10 of 11. They had a day where they had two walk-off losses in one day to the White Sox, and then followed up by beating Boston and Houston six straight games.
Wow. See, what? Even when they lose, they keep it entertaining. You never know what you're going to get, and that's a team that plays for network ratings right there. You never know what you're going to get when you turn those guys on. That's great.
That's absolutely crazy.
It's also stressful.
Yes, big series coming up in Kansas City starting on Friday. This news from Sweden, Henrik Zetterberg, knee injury. He's out for the World Cup. I'm not sure how serious this is and what it will affect his status when the season starts for the Red Wings, but not good news. He's the second wing to bow out of the World Cup due to knee problems. The other was Cronwall. I think Sweden was happy when Cronwall balled out. But
pop the champagne bottle in that news. Is that what you're saying?
that's just me.
Ouch.
Because I'm kind of a hater right now. But Zetterberg was slated to be their captain And while he's not the Henrik Zetterberg that we know and love, he's still a quality player and a quality leader.
Right. The presence really helps a lot, too.
So hopefully this isn't too serious, and he'll be ready to go when the games that count start.
Right.
For the Wings. Yeah. I'll be happy that hockey has started because I'm a big hockey geek, but I'm not sure I'm buying what the NHL is selling here with the World Cup and the whole Team Europe and Team North America.
Yeah.
Come on.
Tough to get out of bed for that.
Give me real countries.
Right.
And if countries don't have enough NHL guys, then don't worry about it. Just give me the country. There are six countries that have enough NHL guys that they can field legitimate teams. Just make it a six-team tournament.
Yeah.
I don't need eight teams if you're just going to make up two teams.
Right.
Come on.
Exactly.
Killing me. Anyways. And again, we've got a double dip of high school football this weekend. Tomorrow night, St. Clair hosting Warren Woods Tower. That's a MAC Gold opener. And a MAC Gold opener tonight as Northern takes on Marine City. 6:45 pregame at WPHM.net. And it's brought to you by your local McDonald's, Lens Pool and Spa, Subway of Marysville, Blue Water Area Transit, and the Linwood Bar. And you're going to Elginac Elmont.
Elginac Elmont, you know it. And Joseph will be right next to you. He's going to be at Northern Marine City as well. Read about both games, Times Herald or the TimesHerald.com.
There you go.
Got to get that plug out there. No, thank you. Appreciate it.
That's perfectly fine.
Shameless plug.
That's what the show is all about.
Hey, there we go. At least we know what we're about. Oh, yeah.
We have no shame here. That's wonderful. A note about something else.
No.
Tomorrow, busy day, and I've got 30 seconds to get this in. 12:30 on the stream, WPHM.net. Hockey, Little Caesars taking on the Chicago Fury. That's a game in the Little Caesars Fall Classic, which starts tomorrow here in Port Huron. We'll do the show 3 to 5 here on PHM, live from McMoran, and then head out to East China for football. Matt, thanks for stopping by.
Oh, thanks
today.
For keeping me on the show. This is incredible. You keep inviting me on here.
Well,
this is wow.
I'd like you to come back now that we got football going. I'd like you to come back at least one day a week.
Let's do it.
So we can talk football.
Yeah, no, definitely interested in that. So
all right. So
dude,
there,
got
there
some
you
good
have.
Going here.
It's an NBC Sports update, and then Michigan State pregame football coaches show.